We're in the middle of a collection entitled Moving Forward. We're talking about the life of Elisha. And the title of my message today, if you're taking notes, is, and they already put it up here for you because they're excited in the back to hear this message, and that is Built Different. So tell your neighbor, I'm built different. Go ahead, let me hear you. Online, put it in the comments. I'm built different. All right, turn to your other neighbor, your second choice, and say, I'm like that. I'm like that. Come on. And I love that. I love that because how many know God's word says we are fearfully and wonderfully made? How many know God's word it says we are masterpieces? Come on. How many know you're built different? You're built different. And if you're built different, my question is, what are you building for? My question is, who are you building with? Maddie, what a story. I mean, just thank you. Thank you, Maddie. But friends, Maddie, she's built different. But she's built just like you and just like me. That God has a plan for every single one of us. And so my question this morning is, you're built different and you're building, but what are you building for? Is what you're building having a lasting effect? Is what you're building advancing the kingdom of heaven? Or is what we're building actually destroying us? So let's go into the, today's scripture, and that is going to be 2 Kings. And we're going to go all the way into chapter 6, because Easter's coming. Easter's in 2 weeks. That's our Super Bowl right there. Come on. And we're excited for Easter. But here is 2 Kings chapter 6. One day, the group of prophets came to Elisha and told him, as you can see, this place where we meet with you is too small. Let us go down to the Jordan River. There are plenty of logs. Now, there we can build a new place for us to meet. All right, he told them, go right ahead. Please come with us, someone suggested. I will, he said. So he went with them. They arrived at the Jordan. He began cutting down trees, but as one of them was cutting a tree, his axe head fell into the river. Oh, sir, he cried. It was a borrowed axe. Where did it fall? The man of God asked. When he showed him the place, Elisha cut a stick and threw it in the water at that spot. Then the axe head floated to the surface. Grab it, said Elisha. And the man reached out and he grabbed it. The man reached out and he grabbed it. Friends, we're built different. Let's pray a nice, long Sunday morning prayer. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask you, by the power of your Holy Spirit, we ask you to move and we ask you to move us. In Jesus' name I pray. And everybody said, amen and amen. Come on, can we give God praise today? Come on. Man. I'm loving this collection of talks. I'm loving the life of Elijah. I love the life of Elisha. And I love how it all corresponds and translates into our daily lives. But also, we could see a picture of Christ. A picture of the Holy Spirit. And so let's talk about this scripture this morning. And here's kind of the setup. Elisha inherited Elijah's school of the prophets. And so when we see here in scripture, it says a group of prophets came to Elisha. So he inherited this school. And this is one of four schools in all the other cities that we just read last week, in Gilgal and Bethel and Jericho and near the Jordan River. And so he's still in Jericho. The Jordan River's right there. And Bethel was the other one. And so there's a school, and it's a robust school, and there's growth in the school. And how many know with growth comes size? And as they're growing, the place they're meeting at is too small. And so they come to him, and I want you to see this right here. It is thriving. It is growing. And they go to Elisha. They go to Elisha. And they said, as you can see, the place where we meet at with you is too small. So let us go down to the Jordan. Why the river? There's plenty of logs. There's plenty of resources. There, we could build a new place for us to meet. There, we could do something about it. And so how do you know God is trying to move you? If you're taking notes, how many know? Note takers are ready. Oh, man, note takers are ready to grow and to learn. But how do I know God is moving me? Number one, a sign that God is moving you is growth pains. It's growth pains. It's growth pains. You know, all growth is painful because it goes against your comforts. It goes against your comforts. If you're comfortable, then you're probably not growing. No pain, no gain. I've been to the gym, it still hurts. Why? Because you're growing. You're growing. So there's growth pains that begin to happen. Now, I want you to see that as they're growing, they came to him and they didn't say, "Hey, Elisha, stop inviting people. Elisha, I like this right here. Elisha, I like parking." Come on, somebody. You know, like, "Elisha, let's keep it tight knit. I like the size of this thing. Size is nice, it's comfortable. I know everybody's name." You know, like I enjoy this. Yeah, don't get so systematic, don't get so corporate. And how many know? I had a family growing up, and I was a son of just a I had one brother and one sister, and I knew their name. You know, and I knew my mom and my dad, and they took care of me. They spent time with me. But then my parents divorced, and when they divorced, they both remarried. Now I have 11 brothers and sisters. And 11 brothers and sisters. One could say we became a corporation. One could say we became a business. And can I just tell you, we have systems and structures in place, and I still knew their name. Come on, somebody. We had to grow. But here's what I love. They didn't spectate. They got involved. They didn't say, "Oh, you know, this school of the prophets at Jericho, way too big. I'm going to go to Bethel. I think they're smaller and they're weird. I'm going to go to the smaller school." They said, "We can build." Look at the scripture we put up behind me just in 2 Kings. They said, "It's too small. Let us go down. We can build. We can do this." And Elisha says, "Good idea. Thank you for asking. Let's go do it." Man, I love their language. We and us. Can I just give you a hint as your pastor? And if you're first time with us today, I would love to be your pastor. Lindsay and I would love to be your pastor, right? And it's fun. We're a little weird. Come on, somebody. And let's just be weird together and build the kingdom of heaven. Amen? Yeah. But I can hear it in your language. I can hear it in your speech. I can hear if you're a builder or if you're a spectator. Is that okay to say that today? Man, I can hear when people come up to me and go, "Pastor, your church." And I'm like, "Your church is awesome. Thank you. I like our church." Right? I've seen it in people's language. "You know, Pastor, I think we'll make it grow if you could." I go, "Oh, thank you. That's why does it get so quiet in here when I do that?" You hear that? You can hear the pin drop right here, huh? "You know, Pastor, what worked at my last church?" Well, why aren't you at your last church? You know, like, but when someone comes to me and says, "Pastor, the place we're meeting, that's too small. You know what we should do? Hey, Pastor, I have an idea. What if we collectively," I love that. This is not a personality-driven church. This is not a celebrity church. This is the church. We are all in this together. Nowhere in the Bible is there a gift of spiritual influencer. We're all influencers. How many know in the Bible it says we are co-laborers? There is, in the Bible, there are no co-stars. There is not, "God, I'm doing this, and you're going to bless this." This is, "God, what are we doing? God, what are you up to?" God is in charge of this thing. But a growing church needs more builders. Not spectators, not consumers, but contributors and builders. And there's something that happens inside of you when you start building. Ephesians chapter 2, God put this on the inside of us. For by grace we've been saved through faith. I want you to see this. Not as a result of works. You are not saved. You and I are not saved. You're not going to raise your hand to end the service, and that makes you saved. You are saved because of what Jesus did. Not by your works, but what Jesus did. And for we are God's workmanship. Work. Look at the words. We are God's workmanship. He created us for work. We're not saved by our works. We're saved by his works. But we are God's workmanship, creating Christ Jesus for good works, not for good speculation, not for good entertainment. This is for good works, which God prepared beforehand. Means when he put you on this planet, he put something inside of you already. He put a gift and he put purpose on the inside of you already. He didn't pop you on this planet and went, oh, I forgot. Every single person, you were born on purpose, for purpose, but that you should walk in them, that we should walk in them. God's not going to make you walk in it. God's not going to make you discover it. But we were built because we were created for good works. I'm built different. I'm built different. What do you mean by built different, Pastor Jeremy? Is that just your 14-year-old's little slant? No, look at this. Ephesians. There are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit. Capital S, Holy Spirit, the source of them all. There are many different kinds of service. Can I just say this right now? Thank God we're built different. I thank God that there are gifts in this room. I thank God for I thank God for the organizers. Come on, somebody. I thank God for Lorenzo in my life. I thank God for Pastor Lindsay in my life. Thank you, Jesus. I don't know if they're thanking God for me, but I'm here. I'm built different. I'm thanking God for I'm thanking God for the gifts that are in Avenue Kids. I'm thanking God for the gifts that are in the lobby. I'm thanking God for the gifts that are on social media. Why? Because every single one of us was given a gift by the same Spirit who put good works inside of us. So don't get mad at the church when the church says, "What's your gift?" Let's use it. But the same God who does the work in all of us. I saw a large group come back from Utah working for 2 days straight, plastering, painting, assembling, lack of sleep, working, 2 days renovating a ginormous youth room, and they came back physically tired, but I also saw them come back spiritually filled. That's what it means when we allow God to do the work in us, when we walk in our good works. So the church needs builders and inviters. The church needs builders and inviters. The church needs builders and inviters. The place we're meeting at is too small. Let's go down to the Jericho River where there's plenty of resources so that we can get bigger. If we get bigger, we make room for more. Acts chapter 2, what happened when the Holy Ghost came up and man, they're speaking in tongues and it's revival in the city. It says they worship together in the temple every day. Come on, give me a permitted building. I don't know if we'll be at services every day, but come on. Every day they met at homes for the Lord's Supper. They shared meals with great joy and generosity, all while praising God, enjoying the goodwill of the people. And each day, every single day, the Lord added to their fellowship those who are being saved. This is not butts and seats. This is souls in heaven. This is kingdom. This is kingdom. And so when growing pains come, whether it's in your life, in your walk with God, in your church, in your family, what are you going to do about it? Are you going to build? Are you going to run? Or are you going to stay frustrated? Are you going to build? Are you going to run? Are you going to stay frustrated? I've noticed this kind of this trend of social media. And it's kind of fun now to see kind of the transition of perhaps it's Google reviews. You want to check out a restaurant and you look up their Google reviews or their Facebook reviews. And the reviews are important to us because it's word of mouth. It is actually when Lindsay and I travel, we love to talk to waitresses and waiters and people that actually live in the city. Hey, I don't want tourist traps. I want the secret stuff. I want the stuff that like you go to and I don't want to be, and it's fun to hear those things, but I've also noticed this trend on social media where somebody will share something. You've got to check out this place. This burger's right here, or oh man, these burritos over here, or this hiking trail, or whatever it is. And I begin to see in the comments now people saying, don't, now it's gonna be busy. Stop it. Or they'll start their video with, okay, it's my favorite place to go, but no more gatekeeping, because I just want more views, you know, no more gatekeeping. And how many know the church, your church, the church, the capital C church, should never be the best kept secret. It should never be the best kept secret. Because and the reason why is because we want our comforts. Come on, I've been prone to this where I'll walk into my favorite restaurant and I go, it's viral. Now I gotta wait for a table. It's viral. Now I got to book an appointment. It's viral. Why? Because I am uncomfortable. And listen to me, church. I am upset at their success because now it affects my comfort. And I'm upset that God is blessing them because now I'm inconvenienced. See where that goes? And so when it comes with growth pains, you can either go, I don't know what that was. Or you could say, I'm going to build. The church cannot be the best kept secret. Because kingdom matters. Kingdom matters. Hear me, it's not just Avenue Church cannot be. No, it's the capital C church. There are great churches in this city. Great churches where maybe the one that is close to you from far from God, they do not live in Las Vegas. I promise you, there is a great life-giving church in their city. Come on, it's about the church. And so here's Easter. Easter is, what, 2 weeks away? Easter is 2 weeks away. Last year, over 1,000 people walked through our doors. Last year. And in Jesus' name, this year it's going to be more. Going to be more, but we need builders to make it happen. So if you could just enlighten me for just a minute, I need to be a good lead pastor, and will you put behind me a QR code, and will you help us to serve for Easter? For Easter, will you get your phones out, will you just scan the QR code, see where it takes you? And I love what Maddie said, that serving, it is more than just the church just wants to use me. No, it is all about how God wants to bring alive the gift that is inside of you. And so this is a safe place to serve. You won't be stuck serving. But if you've been attending Avenue and you've never served, today's your day to stop watching and to start building. Stop watching. And I invite you to come start building. Come start building. Is that good? Long enough? Is that good? Is that okay? We got this? It's also in the lobby as well. But let's go to 2 Kings, verse 3. And I want you to see this. This is so key, though. This is so important. He says, too small. Let's go down there. There's more resources, more stuff. And then they said this, please come with us. Please come with us. They told Elisha. Someone suggested, that someone right there is a very important someone. That someone said, please come with us. And he said, I will. Friends, in order to build, in order to see if God is growing you or moving you forward, you cannot do it without God's presence. without God's presence. See, God is calling you right now to serve. If you heard that ringtone, sorry. Look at Psalms 127. Unless the Lord builds the house, the laborers build in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the guards stand and watch in vain. Church, I don't want to do anything without God's presence. I don't want to do, and I'm not talking about, I feel his presence. No, I want to go and be in his will. And I want it to be his way. I want it to be his plan. It's not just about the feelings, but it's about knowing that I'm in smack dab in the middle of the will of God. Look at Judges chapter 6. Gideon. Gideon is pressing wine in a wine press. He's trying to winnow wheat in a wine press. Let me really break it down. Gideon is doing work inside that was meant for the outside. So what Gideon was doing was, because of his fear, he was hiding. And so I want you to see this. Then the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon and said, "Mighty hero, the Lord's with you." I want you to picture it. Gideon's in a hole. He's hiding. He's trying to do work. It doesn't make sense because you're supposed to winnow wheat on the outside, throw it in the air. He's cramming it into a wine press. And the angel of the Lord shows up and goes, "Gideon." He's like, "Ah, the Lord's with you. Mighty warrior." What made him mighty? Not Gideon, not his fear. What made him mighty was that God was with him. God is with you. God is with you. Don't build without God's presence. Because here's the thing. You can start building, and you can be smack dab in the middle of God's will, but if you lose your why, you lose your way. And when you lose your way, man, sometimes that's when we stray. We walk away from God's presence. We stop asking him. We stop praying. Stop reading our word. Stop church. Stop giving. Stop serving. That you have to know that we have to spend time in God's presence. Have you ever hung out with somebody who is just at a greater level than you? And when you sit down for lunch or coffee or you listen to them, you begin to grow in knowledge because of close proximity. You're hearing from them. You're learning from them. This is how you grow. And so here is one of the prophets. Hear me. A prophet. What do you want to be when you grow up? I want to be a prophet. I want to be like Elisha. I want to be like Elijah. I'm in the school of the prophets. Well, what's your job today? To prophesy? No, my job today is to cut down a tree. That's my job today. I feel like that sometimes too. I am called to preach the gospel. What's your job today? I'm going to chop wood. I'm going to do what matters now that's going to leave an impact later. And so he's chopping wood. I want you to see this, but one of them was cutting a tree and his axe head fell into the river. "Oh no!" he cried. It was a borrowed axe. So a lot of times I did a lot of study on this week, and I brought an axe. And I think it's a pretty secure axe head. I'm not sure. I'm sorry, not directed at you, sir. It's a pretty good axe head, and I bought this week. And I love the picture. I want you to picture this. I'm a prophet of the man of God. What are you doing today? I'm working. I'm working. Some of us, we get into the ministry to be seen, and once you get into the ministry, you don't want to be seen. You just want to make a difference. Man, I just want to do what I just want to do. I'll stack chairs. Man, I'll set up. I'll tear down. I'll serve in Avenue Kids. Man, I'll lobby. I'll work a camera. Man, I'll sing on the worship team. I'll do that. Later. They let me do it. It's very nice of them. And so here he is, and they're chopping the axe. Now, I want you to know, all throughout the Bible, that the axe, and this is even Deuteronomy, it was very common for axes to fall off their stick. It wasn't as awesome as our axes are today. So this is very common for them to lose their axe head. And so there's actually laws about axes in Deuteronomy. But also, another thing about the axe head is that it represents sharpness. It represents the spirit. The accent, throughout the Bible, you hear the Apostle Paul say, the Word of God is living, it's active, it's powerful, it's sharper than any double-edged sword. You begin to see the symbolism even in this story of him losing his axe head. He lost his axe head. And so a lot of times the axe head represents the spirit, but also the handle or the wood represents our flesh. And so when he lost his axe head, he's chopping wood, and all of a sudden he lost his axe head. It goes into the river, and this is the picture of many of us today. The picture of us is we're just swinging. And we're not doing it with God's spirit. And we're not doing it with the Word of God and without the direction of the Holy Spirit. And what I've noticed is that many of us, we lose our edge. And when we lose our edge, whether it's I don't want anyone to know, or whether it's I got this, I'll build different. I'm him. Come on, I'm like that. And I'm just gonna continue doing what I can do. I don't know about you, but have you ever had the wrong tool for the job? My goodness. We tried to do some landscaping. I had a shovel that was flat instead of a diamond-shaped shovel. I had the hardest time digging into. It's not dirt in Las Vegas. It's concrete, by the way. And trying to dig in our concrete dirt, you know, and desert. And finally, I had to stop and say, I need to go to the store. I need to buy the right tool for the right job. And when I got the right tool for the right job, it became easier. How many of us were living this world and we're doing things by our power or by our spirit or by our might and we're frustrated and we're tired? How many know a serving without God's presence leads to burnout? Marriage without God's presence leads to strife and intense arguments and divorce. And how many know church without God's presence, man, it leads to a dead church. It leads to a quiet church. How many know a dead church is a quiet church? Can I get an amen? Amen. All right, thank you. Whew, I got to work at 11 a.m. I'm working on them. And a lot of us, I don't want you to see this in 2 Kings. It says this, but one of them was cutting trees. Axe head fell into a river. He goes, oh, no, sir, it was a borrowed axe. It was a borrowed axe. It was a borrowed axe. I began to study that. And when it says it was a borrowed axe, the original word there wasn't necessarily him saying borrowed, but the original word that's actually in the original manuscripts was begged. So he said, this axe, I borrowed it because I begged for it. I borrowed this axe, but I begged for the axe, which shares that he had zero means to replace the axe. He couldn't. He was a college kid. Come on, somebody, right? Living on ramen noodles here, you know. He had no money. And so when he begged, and here, I want you to hear me. He begged and said, can I please, let me borrow your axe, please. I can't afford it. I don't have one, but I need one. Why? Because I'm a builder. Why? Because I'm going to get involved. And so when he lost the axe head, he said, oh, no. What I had, I lost it. It was borrowed. I begged for it, and there's no way I could replace it. So what does that mean in our context today? Every single thing on this planet belongs to God. Everything. And so, friends, we're borrowing it. We're borrowing it. I am simply borrowing. Oh, man, I'm borrowing God's gifts over my life. I'm borrowing this call that he has. Man, nothing belongs to me. The money I have in my bank account, I'm borrowing that. It's God's. Doesn't belong to me. I'm simply borrowing it. I'm borrowing it. I'm borrowing it. I'm borrowing it. But I want you to know that he's in the middle of God's will. He's chopping the tree. Axe that flies off goes into the river. And he's smack dab in the middle of God's will. I want to be a prophet. I'm getting trained. I'm reading the original manuscripts. I'm in the footsteps of a great, mighty man, Elisha. The place we're meeting at is too small, so we need to expand. I borrowed and begged for an axe that isn't mine. But man, I want to get involved. I want to be a builder, not a spectator. And he's in the middle of God's will. Hear me. He's in the middle. He's doing the work of the ministry. And somehow he lost his edge. This is a picture through several commentaries, through several theologians, that how many of us, we're in the middle of God's will, but for some reason along the way, we lost it. We got careless with it. It's what the original theologians said. The original theologians say that it didn't happen suddenly, it happened gradually. Over time, the axe became loose. Over time, it slowly came up. Over time, you slowly lose the spirit. Over time, we'll say this, sometimes you're gradually growing or you're gradually declining. And so over time, I'm busy. I can't read my word today. And now hear me. I've had to help several people. They're like, I didn't read my Bible today. I didn't either. I've been busy. I'm going to try to read more tomorrow. It's okay. It's okay. But get back into your word. Get back into it. But over time, you lost the spirit. But here's the key, though. It happens to every single one of us. That's why pastors are burning out. That's why you see all people quitting and resigning and giving up and all those different things. And it happens to every single one of us. But the real issue is that you may have lost it, but you kept swinging. You kept swinging. All right, now, if I was insecure and I was with all my peers and all the other prophets, and all of a sudden my accent went into a river, I'd be like, yeah, I'm fine, I'm good. You okay, Jeremy? Good, I'm great. But there had to be an admittance. How do you change and how do you grow? My third point is that you lost it slowly. You know, sin, I realize, sin is slow. And the devil is patient. Sin is slow, and the devil is patient. Sin is slow, and the devil is patient. And slowly he lost his edge, and he lost what was borrowed. You know, have you ever lost something? I kind of attended, and this is one of these illustrations where I had an illustration planned, and then it happened to me. And in my notes, it says, my wife, Pastor Lindsay, she does like five things at one time, and she has the gift of multitasking and the gift of like kicking butt, taking names. And typically on a daily basis, she'll go, have you seen my phone? Have you seen my phone? And I go, no, I have not seen your phone. Have you seen my phone? And then I get to hear this, call my phone, call my phone. I want you to call my phone, so I'm always calling her phone. It used to be keys. Do you know where my keys are? Where's my keys? Where's my keys? Now we have Apple AirTags on all of our stuff. All of our things. And I used to always tell her, she'd be like, call my phone. Where is it? Where's my phone? Where's my keys? Where's this? Where's that? And I always say, because I am a man of God, I always say, it was where you left it. And if you're a man of God, I suggest you not to say that in the middle of that. But I lost my edge. Matter of fact, we were at a store, and we brought our 8-year-old into the store. He was wearing a hat, and Lindsay and I did some shopping, and it was time to leave the store. And I said, Derek, let's go. And he popped out without a hat. And we said, hey, bud, where's your hat? And he went, oh. And he says this, let me retrace my steps. This morning, I lost my wallet. This morning, I lost my wallet. I think the devil or the Holy Spirit is just trying to get me back. Come on, somebody. I lost my wallet this morning. I said, where's my wallet? Now, can I just tell you, my lovely wife did not say, well, did you? No, she said no. My lovely wife did not say, it was where you left it. As a matter of fact, it was where I left it. I got my wallet. Come on, somebody. Okay, don't clap for me. And so point number four, if you've lost your edge, go back. Go back to where you left it. Just go back. You know, sometimes we, like, hear sermons and messages, and it's like, and the instructions are so complicated, you're like, whoa, I don't know what to do. Mine are pretty simple today. Go back. Just go back. Go back to where you lost it. Just go back. 2 Kings, look at what the man of God said. Where did it fall? Where did you fall? Man, where did it go? The man of God asks. When he showed him the place, Elisha cut a stick and threw it into the water. Now, many theologians say, oh, the stick represents the cross. The stick represents the replacement handle. The stick represents this and that. Can I just tell you what I think the stick represents? The stick represents a miracle. The stick represents a stick went in. He threw the stick into the water. Some believe that when he threw the stick into the water, that the stick was a replacement for the axe. But when he threw the stick into the water, the axe head began to float. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't think iron floats. Maybe hollow iron bolts do, but not a iron heavy axe head. And then he says this, axe floated to the surface, and he said, grab it, Elisha said, as the man reached out, and he grabbed it. I want to ask you today, when did you lose it? Where did you lose it? You know, there's a phrase called first love. I remember when I fell in love with Lindsay. I remember I was at a job interview. Come on, somebody. But I kept my mouth shut. Some of you should try that. Come on, somebody. Right? At the job interview, I didn't walk up to her and said, did it hurt when you fell from heaven? My favorite book in the Bible is Numbers. Can I have yours? I didn't do that. I didn't do that. I remember I was on top of the stratosphere. Come on, somebody. Months before I proposed to her on the stratosphere, I looked at her, overlooking the city, hearing people in the death trap ride, and I looked at her, and I said, I need to tell you something. She said, yes. I said, I love you. Come on. I said it first. Come on. I like how you guys like that, huh? Come on. But maybe next year will be 20 years of marriage, right? And I love her more today than I did 20 years ago. But through the ups and downs, sometimes you got to take a look back and say, when did it start to slip? Look at Revelation chapter 2. And I think this is a call to all churches, to all Christians. Because we live in a society now that is against the church. And if you're against the church, you're against the bride of Christ. And the bride of Christ is God loves the church. And so if God put good works inside of us, then the enemy is going to do whatever he can to stop you from working for the kingdom. Stop working for the church. I know all the things you do. This is Jesus. I've seen your hard work and your patient endurance. Listen to this, church. Patient endurance. Don't give up for a due season. You're going to reap a harvest. You've been patient. I see your patience. and I see your endurance. Man, I gotta hurry. I know you don't tolerate evil. You've examined the claims of those who say they're apostles and they're not. You've discovered they're liars. You patiently suffer for me without quitting. But I have this complaint against you. You don't love me or each other as you did at first. You lost your first love. If you don't repent, I'll come and remove your lampstand. If you were here last week, we know that we're called to be salt and light. So Jesus, I'm going to remove your influence. I'm going to remove the light from its place amongst the churches. See, church restoration starts with returning. Restoration starts with returning. Elijah says, where did it fall? When did it happen? Where did it take place? And then by his grace and his sovereignty, took a stick, threw it in the water, acts that floated out. And then he says something very key. Two things he said. He said, where did you lose it? Notice Elijah didn't say, how did you lose it? Huh? What's your deal? Notice Elijah didn't say, why did you lose it? We do that to our kids a little too much, don't we? Why did you do that? He just said, where? Where'd you lose it? See, God isn't asking you to explain yourself. God is asking you to go back to the place where you stopped. When did you stop praying? When did you stop serving? Online audience, when did you stop attending and serving? When did you stop giving tithes and offerings? When did you stop reading this thing? Every moral failure, I've studied moral failures of great men and women. Mostly men, come on, somebody. And a lot of these moral failures, every single one of them said, I stopped. I lost my edge. I lost my edge. So Elijah says, where did you lose it? And then he says this. The axe that floats up. And Elijah says, you grab it. You get it. It is now your responsibility. See, listen to me. God will restore what you lost, but you got to reach for it. The gift of salvation is free, but you got to receive it. It is your responsibility. It's not my responsibility. My responsibility is right here, preaching God's word. Not my opinions, God's word. But it's your responsibility to believe it, to receive it, but also to walk in it. To know that you've been called to serve. If this irks you about serving, then go serve in another church. If you think it's all about avenue, it's not. It's about the kingdom of heaven. But this is always the way it is with the things of God. That when he causes the truth to come to the surface, revelation shows up, it is your responsibility to grab it. And one of the key things that that young man did is when his axe head went into the water, the key thing that he did, he didn't fake it. He didn't keep swinging. He went to the master. And he said, Master, I lost it. Master, I lost my edge. Man, if you've lost your edge and you're tired of swinging, today's your day to grab a hold of it, to grab a hold of God. Do me a favor. Will you bow your heads, close your eyes just for sake of time? And there's really two types of invitations this morning. And that first invitation is, it's time to build. It's time to serve. It's time to get involved. With every head but an eye closed, you know what happens to the kingdom, to a local church? That if builders don't get involved while there's growth, then the church will begin to shrink. The kingdom will begin to decline We need builders. Not just for Easter, but for today. To get into the game. Some sweat equity. To say, God, I was created on purpose and for a purpose. But maybe you're also here today and you've lost your edge. And man, you're tired of swinging. You're tired of doing it on your strength and your might, your ideas. I wonder if the Holy Spirit's given us decision fatigue to lay it all down. And maybe today's message, revelation, came to the surface. You need to reach out and grab it. Grab salvation. Grab purpose. Grab a hold of God's Spirit. Dear Holy Spirit, we thank you. Thank you for this word. Speak to us, lead us, and guide us. Man, if you're here today and you're ready to build, go build. Do it in God's grace. Do it in His presence. If you're here today, you've lost your edge. I don't care how old you are. I don't care what age you are. I don't care what your status is. We all lose our edge. We need iron to sharpen iron. We need the Spirit of God to heal us, to lead us, to guide us. With every head but of eye closed, we're going to pray a prayer. And that prayer is for salvation today. I want everyone to lift your voice and say, Dear Jesus, say thank you for dying on the cross. I repent of my sins. Say, be Lord of my life. Say, the best way I know how, I'm going to live for you, because I now know who I am. I'm saved. I'm redeemed. I'm a child of God. Come on, everybody, make some noise.